Hello and welcome to Talking HE. My name is Santanu Vasant. In this episode, we speak to Roger Saunders, Associate Professor in the Business School at De Montfort University in Leicester. Roger is also the host of the podcast, The Learning and Teaching Chat Show. We discuss how Roger first came to be involved in playful learning and gamification, how he's adapted card games to his context, and the impact it's having on student learning, what educators can do to become more aware of the potential of card games in higher education, and where educators can find out more about playful learning and gamification to use in their practice. We hope you enjoy this episode.
So my name's Roger Saunders. I'm an associate professor at De Montfort University teaching in the business school. I teach marketing and advertising, but my real area of interest is actually in pedagogy. And in particular, the use of various forms of playful learning. So that would include things like gamification within the classroom setting. Having been doing this now for, it's actually almost exactly 28 years. One of the things that I've sort of struggled with and attempted to address over that time is getting students to engage in the classroom and actually getting them to want to come to the classroom in the first place.
What first sparked your interest in playful learning and gamification specifically?
Well, in some respect, that started probably 25 years ago because, and it's quite a convoluted story in a way, but also quite neat because literally, I think it was last week, it celebrated its 25th anniversary. There's a game called Rollercoaster Tycoon, which I used to play on PC, and there were several iterations of it. And while I was playing it, and it's basically just construct theme parks, one of the things that I realized as I was playing through it is that in order to unlock the next level, you're given an objective. So the objective might be, you have to have 1,000 people attend your theme park. And obviously, if you want lots of people to go, then you make things as cheap as possible. But that also then means that whilst you can have lots of rides, there'll be relatively small rides. But then the next objective might be have a satisfaction rating of over 90%. So if you want people to be really satisfied, then you've got to think about things like cleanliness, security, lots of food and drink. And so you actually change how you approach managing the park on the basis of what your objective is. And it occurred to me at the time, because I'd not long been teaching business subjects then, that of course that's exactly what we were doing in the discipline. So there was a version called Mal Tycoon, which I took in and used with my retail students. And ever since then, I'd had this idea of, well, could you create a marketing board game? And that kind of sat festering for 20 odd years. And then I saw an advert for Playful Learning Association conference, and it just so happened that it was in Leicester, and I work at De Montfort, which is in Leicester. So I went along, and I was so inspired by that that I then created a board game, which didn't work very well. But since then, have been involved in a lot more stuff that's sort of revolved around that. So I'm also a member of the Active Learning Network. And I've attended quite a few things to do with various aspects of gamification. And in particular, I've done quite a lot of stuff with card games. And I am a self-confessed card and board game nerd. So, it's something that I actually enjoy as a pastime, but I can see ways in which it could be sort of interesting and engaging for students. So it was just a matter of trying to combine those two things.
And how have you adapted card games to different contexts, and what's been the impact on student learning?
Well, the failed board game, which did involve several sets of cards, I then actually took those cards and saw whether or not I could use them separately from the board game. So kind of reduced the complexity. And at the same time, I was approached by a colleague about creating a set of cards to convey. It's quite a simple model, PEST, which I'm sure many people have probably come across. So political, economic, social, technological, just create a set of 20 cards. And they cover the various different things, and I put a nice picture on them. And then what the students had to do was work out which category they went into. And some of them didn't naturally fit within one. They might have fit in within more than one. Then ask them to rank them according to importance. And in this case, because they were all running notional businesses, so they had to work out for their particular business, you know, which ones would have the most significant impact. And then there was a third layer, which was to ask the students to take the top ranked characteristic or factor in each case and work out how their business might respond to that. And then what I started to do, because it seemed like a good thing to do, was to be slightly more rigorous or academic in my approach. So I started reading lots of literature, and what I'm actually in the process of doing at the moment is writing a meta-analysis of articles that have already been produced about card games in higher education. And from that, what I recognized is that there's a lot of card games already being used and being used in various different forms. But equally, there's also a number of people who are taking the basic principles of card games and putting those into teaching various different subjects. And a lot of those come out of sciences, and in particular, biological sciences. So it also seemed like a good thing to do, because it meant that it isn't just something that's specific to the subjects that I teach. It meant that, you know, pretty much anyone from any discipline could potentially see this. And there's a workshop that I've run on a number of different occasions for a number of different organizations and at sort of various conferences and seminars that takes people through the basic principles of everything from single card items, so using things like flashcards, right through to deck building games. And in fact, the thing that I did to replace the board game was a deck building game based on the mechanics of an existing game, but restructured to then look at aspects of business and marketing.
And what can educators do to become more aware of the potential of card games in their subjects in higher education?
If we're talking specifically about card games, I think one of the big benefits is they're very easy. They're easy to learn, easy to adapt, easy to use. But the one thing I would say, and this is probably true of any form of gamification, or indeed sometimes sort of the broader sense of doing activities in class, is that there's two extra things beyond the game itself. So the first would be priming. That's making sure that the students understand why you're doing what you're doing. So as much as hopefully they'll get more out of it because they're actually enjoying it, it is quite important, especially where you've got students who might either be reluctant to participate or see it as slightly non-academic, to understand the benefit to them with regards to what they're going to be what they're going to be getting out of it. And then the second one, which is kind of allied to that, is then reflection. So after a game has been played, to then reflect on how it went, what students got out of it. And in some cases, that can then be followed up potentially by iteration. So one of the things about playing through any game, and card games would be no different, is playing through the game so that then you have an understanding of how it works, and perhaps the strategy that you've employed first time round wasn't necessarily the best, and you can learn from the other participants, so that if you're given the opportunity to do it again, you can potentially do it better, because now you have a much better understanding of what's actually involved and what the characteristics are, and maybe what the criteria or the factors are that might influence that. So I think definitely priming and reflection, two really important parts of any game activity, and that would definitely apply to cards as well. Given that I'm in the middle of putting together analysis, which hopefully will be ready before the summer, to submit for publication. But because I'm a big believer in making things open access, would quite happily then pass that on to anyone who's interested, so that they don't necessarily have to do that research for themselves. But in the intervening period, if you have access, which I'm guessing most colleagues will, to any of the various portals like EBSCO, it's a relatively simple thing to run them down. I didn't realize quite how many articles there were, and they're everything from quite complex card games dealing with specific aspects. So one of them was about, I think it was washing protein. I have no idea what that is. But the others then, a lot of them were using mechanics from games that people would understand. So there's one teaching about bacteria that's based on Cards Against Humanity. There's one that's based on top trumps. And again, I think that's about biological molecules. And there are quite a few that are predicated on the mechanics of things like gin or gin rummy, if people have played those. So four cards, same number, or run of cards from a single suit, or go fish, which is a game I'm not particularly familiar with, but I understand it works on a similar principle, but you're taking cards from other people as opposed to picking them up or putting them down onto a deck. So the basic principles are really quite straight, or can be quite straightforward. And there are lots of articles. There are a few online resources as well, but unfortunately I don't have the details of those in front of me at the moment.
My last question was, you know, where can people find out more about card games in higher education?
In the places that I've already indicated, I guess. But equally, if anyone's interested in card games, I'm more than happy to talk to people in different institutions. I've actually just put out a notification via the Playful Learning Association about the seminar that I offer, and the fact that I'm quite happy to go and deliver at, allowing for distance to any institution that thinks that they might have a group of staff who would be interested. There's no cost involved in that, and hopefully I'll give them enough to actually start up on the practicals of that. I'm actually waiting at the moment to finalize a piece of work with a college that's based just outside Edinburgh, which is a bit of a distance for me, but you do what you can. But hopefully the meta-analysis will be produced shortly. But that information is generally pretty available. As I said, unfortunately, I don't have to hand the various different sites that also include details, but they're not very difficult to track down.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for your time.
That's okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you to Roger Saunders for his time. Roger's podcast, The Learning and Teaching Chat Show, can be found on Spotify. If you've got a comment or query or would like to appear on a future episode of Talking HE, then please email santanu@santanuvasant.com. Thanks for listening. I've been Santanu Vasant, and this has been Talking HE.